Hi, I'm Beth. I'm 65, you're 65 or older, or 60 with lots of sun damage. Anyway, we are going to explore the perils and the wonders of old age. Please join me on our journey. Episode 8, recorded on September 25th, 2019. Hi, it's Beth. I gotta talk about this whole Marie Kondo thing. It takes on a whole new meaning at my age because I've got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of screenplays that I just can't even part with. Paper everywhere. All those characters, they were sort of alive to me. But to the cold, calculating eye, I think this room of mine, I think I look like a hoarder. I think I'm very, very close to being a hoarder. But anyway, I was plowing through all my stuff, just stacks of it. And I found this binder that was popular in the 90s, you know, with all the flaps and the folders and it, you know, the Velcro that closes it up. But this one was filled with the Eric Clapton story. It started like this. I guess it was maybe 1991, and I started meeting with my new neighbors in my backyard on Fridays. All the kids would be swimming, and we would be drinking. Not too much, just lighten things up with a couple of glasses of wine, some crazy hors d'oeuvres. And the kids didn't even know it was alcohol, so all was good. Till one day, one of them walked over with a gallon jug of vodka. Now, that was really, really funny. But it was noticeable. And we had to stop. So we had to stop drinking because three of the kids were heading into their teen years and we were just going to make it too easy if they saw us doing that. So we had to switch things up. And we switched it up to Thursday at lunchtime. But we got this really bad reputation because every restaurant we went to, it would shut down within 3 months. And I guess we were responsible. We had no idea what we were doing, although we never left. And we'd be there for 3 hours. So in retrospect, I can see we might have been part of a problem, and I'm really sorry. But anyway, we finally hit on a chain restaurant. And because chain restaurants don't close, you know, people just keep coming. So we thought that was a good idea. And we were there for more than like 3 months. And I guess that's how long it takes to pick up a stalker. But we had this guy that came every week and he hid behind his paper and he would listen to our conversation. I mean, we thought it was kind of funny. But he was there for a good reason. The conversations were really something. We weren't talking about spelling tests or school teachers. We were all hitting that 40s age, feeling a little bit over the hill. But no one ever told us that there were many, many more hills that we were going to have to cross over. So we took this hill very seriously. And we had some topics. One of our big topics was the stuff we never did. And it was shocking, all the stuff that we missed. But the biggest one, by far, was that none of us, and there were eight of us, had ever seen Eric Clapton, and we loved Eric Clapton. It was unthinkable, not even in concert. So, of course, we decided we were all going to go to see him next time he was in San Antonio or Dallas or Houston or whatever, maybe even Austin. But there was a much better idea that was cooking in our brains. Much better idea. See, Eric Clapton had a rehab center in the Caribbean at the time, and we were gonna test positive for drugs and be there when he was there. It was a perfect plan. It's perfect. In fact, one of the girls' husbands actually is a psychiatrist. So we had it made. The only problem was the guy had a real high moral code. So we were going to have to do something dramatic. Just think it up. We were busy thinking, you know, and our stalker, I could tell we had a really, really great idea because our stalker, his paper was shaking. He was sitting there behind his paper and the paper was shaking. That's how I knew this was the best idea we had ever, ever had. We were actually on to something. Well, after the fourth or fifth Diet Coke, the whole plan started to unravel. It actually fell apart. Because this is what the conclusion was. It was wrong to do this. It was wrong. 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 It was wrong. It was a great plan, but it was wrong. But in my mind, what wasn't wrong was that I could turn this into a screenplay. Eric would love it. In my mind, Eric would love it. And we would all meet him at the premiere. It was my dream. I just loved it. No one in this group took me seriously. But I did just that. I wrote it. Pursuing Eric was the title. And that's how the story began. I had a producer friend in England. She read the script and she said, hey, make it British and we'll have something. So I took it back, made it British, gave it to her. My main character, because now we're British, I named her Plum. I don't know where I get this stuff. I thought it was so British. I loved it. Anyway, I had her married to a doctor in England, and that doesn't always mean money in England. So there he was, you know, getting into his 40s, the husband, and he had a midlife crisis, and he changed his practice to a private practice. Well, that's when the money starts pouring in, when you're in England. So he did that, and he moves his family, Plum included, to Wimbledon. It's a neighborhood right around the tennis court. Gorgeous. That's how rich he got. And he got an inheritance. So there, everything. Super house. So he starts playing tennis, because that's what you have to do if you're going to live there. Kids start playing tennis. Everybody loves it. Not so much Catherine. Anyone for tennis starts playing in the background. That's how I nailed this. That's how I sealed this deal. I used his music, ironically, in the storyline. So, Catherine, her name is Plum. When she was Catherine, when she was American, her name is Plum. Plum, and she was thinner and had better skin. And she didn't curse. She had a better education because she was British. That's Plum. Plum figures out that her husband's having an affair with the tennis coach, naturally, and she wants her husband back. So the story, there's millions of stories in this story, but this is the main one. So she's desperate to get this guy back. And what she does is she calls him home. The house is empty. She's dressed up really sexy. And she plays Layla, which is, of course, their favorite song. And the song's so sad and twisted up because now the husband has her on her knees. So it's really just so sad. So true. So whatever. But anyway, that's how the story goes. And all the songs are twisted up like that with time. Anyway, my producer buddy got it to Eric Clapton's lawyer. He didn't have an agent. He never needed one. So the lawyer was the guy. And the lawyer liked it. And he gave it to Eric, who liked it. And this is where he did something he swore he'd never do in his entire life. He stepped out of his lane. He did it because he could see his friends from the EastEnders and all other shows that live in London who weren't getting any work after 40, because that's how it really was back then. He wanted them to have this story. He was such a great guy. He wanted them to work and he wanted them to have fun. So he and his lawyer set up a trip to Hollywood, and they needed to go anyway for music, but they took the script with them and they said they would get it a green light. They would get us a green light. I was actually beside myself. I have no recollection of those days. I was in overdrive, so excited. Well, they met with music people first. And that was a bad move. When that meeting was closing up, they asked Eric, just casually, what else are you here for, Eric? He says, we've got this script. The head music guy goes, a movie? Eric says, yes. The music guy says, no. No, Eric, you can't do it. You can't put your name on a movie. You're an icon. I like to think there was some pushback on Eric's part, but I'll never know for sure. Eric and his lawyer come back to London, and we receive a written letter. The most amazing letter I have ever, ever received. It read, about pursuing Eric, the script, written by the lawyer. This is from the lawyer's office. About pursuing Eric, the script, Eric and I are going to err on the side of caution. Can you believe that? Eric Clapton ever said, err on the side of caution? I couldn't believe my eyes. Err on the side of caution, Eric Clapton? Well, that was the end. That was it. That was the end of the relationship, end of the conversations, end of everything. We were erring on the side of caution. Imagine how different my movie career would have been if he just hadn't met with those miserable, rotten music guys. All my scripts would have been read. Everything that I'm going through, all these papers, all this garbage, all these characters that I loved, they would be alive. Ugh. I'm just going to cool it with Marie Kondo. I'm going to take a little rest from this. It's just too hard. So I'm just going to go lie down, drink a little bit, watch some television. I need a break. I need a Marie Kondo break. So anyway, I'll be back later. And thanks so much.